Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If we really lack nothing, why is it that we feel so acutely that something is missing from our lives? Our problem is not that we are lacking something. Our problem is that we have something that we don't know we have. If it is true, a modern architect, Miles van der Rohe, first stated that God is in the details, it is also true that only the devil keeps an itemized list. Hard life lessons teach that the longer the list of options added or luxuries included, the more carefully we had better check out just what it is we are getting into. Remember the last time you wandered a new car lot? Well, you don't physically have to wander a new car lot anymore. Of course, we know that the car lot comes to us over the internet, over apps on our phones. We've been thinking about car lots because we have a daughter who has her junior permit and will be needing a car. So we have been looking at cars. Mainly it's been my husband looking at cars. I've just given him some specifics, like a convertible would be nice, second car, right? A convertible in the summer that mother could also drive, not just a 17-year-old. Never mind that it's not so practical in the winter. But remember, though, kind of walking through those car lots, most of you still do that. We still do that after we've looked online first. But they'd have those long lists on the side of the window with their roll calls of goodies that would be stuck on the side window. Remember bending down to read more carefully that extensive, impressive list? Those specially added options usually included windshield wipers and carpeting and a horn and a radio, and even integral parts of the engine itself are sometimes separated out and added as the featured details to make the get list look more substantial. But we've also been burned by some of those lists on our cars, haven't we? And once burned, we become a little bit suspicious around flowery language and gushing promises. It doesn't happen just car lots. Think about the times when you have rented a vacation house for a family getaway. The longer the list, the more careful you are. Is this beach house actually on the beach? Or is this beach house on a busy street leading to the beach but a mile away from the water? Does rustic mountain lodge really translate into no modern appliances and one nightmare of a bathroom? We have been trained by the devil's long list not to trust the details. We learn early in life that if small things are highlighted, then something really big must be missing. And as the saying goes, the devil is in the details. Well, in today's lesson, Paul refuses to get caught up in the game of listing detail after detail in order to reveal the presence and power of grace gifts within the Corinthian community. As he gives thanks for spiritual giftedness, Paul only mentions two by name, speech and knowledge. And then even then, he generalizes them as being of every kind. The next time Paul emphasizes spiritual gifts, he uses even less specific language. In fact, instead of itemizing a positive list of the Corinthian gifts, Paul instead offers a sweeping negative as proof of God's unbounded grace. You are, Paul asserts, not lacking in any spiritual gift. Now, would your suspicious nature allow you to buy a car whose side window sticker read only, not lacking anything? Would you pack up your family for a vacation jaunt to a place advertised simply as, not lacking anything? Would you approve of your child picking a college that claimed it was not lacking anything? Would you relocate to a new community and start a new life based on the Chamber of Commerce's insistence that the area was not lacking anything? Our need for details, particulars, and proof makes us demand always more information, yet leaves us always feeling like we are still lacking something. But Paul insists this morning that as confessed believers gathered together in Christ, we are already lacking in nothing. Paul promises that we have at our disposal all that we could ever possibly need to live a life filled with hope and strength and grace. If we really lack nothing, sisters and brothers, then why do we lack? Why do we feel so acutely that so much is missing from our life, our family, our career, our community, our church? If we really are lacking in nothing, why do we feel like, well, like this? If I just had more time, if I just had more money, if I just had more power, if I just had more confidence, if I just had more influence, then I could really, really be something for God. Our problem is not that we are lacking. Our problem is not that we need certain things that we just don't have. Our problem is that we have things that we don't know we have. The grace of God, the gift of salvation, has been handed to us on a silver platter called the cross. The problem is clearly not in God's giving. The problem, and this problem ends up being perceived as a void, a lack in our lives, is that we are no good at receiving. We are so busy worrying about checking an itemized list to see what we have. Is there a water view? Does he have a great career ahead of him? Is an egg roll included? That we are incapable of comprehending that God intends for us to lack nothing. Eternal life, grace and peace, the transforming, saving love of Christ, life's ultimate riches are all ours for taking. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 12, verse 32 reads, our problem isn't a lacking problem. Our problem is a receiving problem. We have not learned how to receive the immeasurable riches of God's grace. At some time, every kid on a shopping trip with mom is taught the same mantra, so to speak. Keep your hands to yourself. Don't touch anything, right? Some parents even teach their children to put their hands in their pockets or clasp them behind their backs when they enter a store with expensive and breakable items sitting around. Unfortunately, most of us take this lesson too much to heart. It doesn't help us that you have the signs that say if you break it, you pay for it, or if you drop it, you know, you pay for it. We have those signs around the store. And so naturally, parents are trying to teach their children not to break anything because they know they'll be paying for it. So as people of faith, we have to unlearn this hands-off, don't-touch attitude, because God has graced us with a superabundance of gifts, but we must be open to receiving them. We must be able to reach out our hands and accept what God would deposit in them, what God would put at our disposal. Too often we have a cramp in our grasp that keeps us from opening our hands to receive what is already there, what is already ours. Here are some suggestions to help us receive what God offers so that we are lacking in nothing. The first one is to let go of what your hands are squeezing. When God offers you gold, you have to let go of the brass baubles you may have already managed to scrape together. Letting go of something inferior to claim a gift of superior quality doesn't sound like it should be difficult. But for most of us, emptying our hands of our petty prizes, emptying our pockets of tawdry treasures is a very tough exercise. But if we are holding tightly to a way of life just because it is familiar, if we are clutching a conviction that money is the ultimate safety net, if our hands are filled with lists of things to do so that we don't have to think about what we have become, let's open our hands and let all this garbage drift through our fingers. Nevertheless, sometimes we desperately feel a lack, a void. Even though our hands are already being tightly held, we cannot receive what God offers us until we can let go of relationships and attitudes, dependencies that are destructive, that suck out our strength and our love without ever helping rebuild our reserves. Open your fist, clenched with fear and from fear. When Paul asserts to the Corinthians that they are lacking in nothing, the lack of detail in that statement is enough to make many of us clam up with fear. Because as long as our hands are clenched together, we believe we are safe from any unknown surprises dropping into them. In his inaugural address, Nelson Mandela spoke about how fearful we are about living a life that is lacking in nothing. Mandela shared this in his, as I said, his inaugural address, but I became familiar with this quote in The Secret Life of Bees. I don't know if anyone else has seen that movie. It was actually a quote that the young child or teen girl had to learn as part of her preparation for the spelling bee. It's a quote that I printed and framed for Mackenzie because I want her to read this. I want her to understand this. You may have heard this too. But he says in his inaugural address, he says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. You playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Get your hands out of your pockets. You don't need to put your hands behind your back. This is a familiar posture of those who would keep the world away by keeping away from the world. If God would have us lacking in nothing, we must be open to the risks entailed by becoming part of a community and caring for others. But with our hands stuffed in our pockets, and our mothers knew that we were safe from accidentally knocking anything off a shelf. But with our hands and stuffed in our pockets, we also would never have felt the soft, cuddly fur of a little coveted stuffed animal, or feel the scratchy stiffness of a starfish in a hands-on aquarium tank. If we are to lack nothing, we must interact with our world. So take your hands from behind your back. This is the, oh no, it's not for me stance as we in the world of recovery speak, climb back onto our pity pots, retreat to stinking thinking, and forget the attitude of gratitude. Lacking in nothing means that God intends our lives to be full. He doesn't intend our lives to be flat. He intends for our lives to be fluid and not stagnant. He wants our lives to be surprising and not staid. The promise that we will be lacking in nothing does not mean that we will be in total control at all times. But our first identity is as one who is in Christ. Thus it is to Christ to whom we give ultimate control over our lives. So if you hold on your hands to Christ, prepare to be swung into action because we lack in nothing. To God be the glory. Amen.